There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Are you going to tell the news of what you were up to last night on the radio, or is that just a conversation between you and I?
I can't remember what it was. You can't remember. Age catches up with you at some point. What was it?
Family Elliott tournament.
Oh, the table tennis tournament.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't turn out to be a tournament. It was more of a round robin. But I did learn that my 11-year-old daughter has a natural aptitude for hand-eye coordination.
You mean she beat you several times?
She probably may have beaten me. It's been a long time since I've played table tennis. To be honest with you, it's outside. The table, maybe not the best place, because it was humid last night, I thought. So I thought that maybe that affected the curvature of the ball direction.
No, she just beat you.
She just beat me?
She's maybe younger, so, she's better. She's more agile, so move on.
I'd completely forgotten about that. Highly entertaining, though. Can I recommend the game of ping pong to anybody who's listening, who's looking for a new form of exercise? It's very good. It's the way forward in, I don't know.
Ping pong.
Yeah, probably. Let's move on to our ping pong playing Hanan Marafi, who joins us. Nice to see you.
Quite good at ping pong, me.
Are you really?
Not bad. My husband's like really good, but I'm average. I like to pretend I'm good, though. Sounded good.
Yeah, well, there you are.
We believed you.
I could have fallen. Yeah.
Mohammed Suleiman, I'm guessing you're good because your hand-eye coordination is very good.
It is actually quite good, yes. Yeah. Me and my brother, we actually have an epic duel every time we meet, and it's usually quite close.
I'm so glad I brought this up.
I usually come out on top, though. I actually do.
Well, yes. I mean, with your brother, you're going to.
Epic duel.
He'd beg to differ. I was going to say how random it is that we have such an enthusiasm for a shared interest like ping pong. Marvellous.
Like
NLT. Listen, I've seen her. We haven't asked her yet. See, what are you like at ping pong? Do you like a...
I'm rubbish at it.
Yeah, well,
but I really like watching it.
Thanks very much. You can come around tonight and enjoy Dana Elliott. She's a star. So, let's talk about this. From the ARN News Centre, Mohammed Suleiman, Hanan Marafi. Let's talk about a couple of stories that you're following. Hanan, first of all, you're looking at a study about travel trends during Ramadan. Highly relevant at the moment, of course. What have you found?
Yeah, so online travel search engine Wago has done a survey which analysed trends amongst their users during the holy month. They do a full research every year to study the market trends for on and off season. And it found that 75% of MENA residents opt to travel within the region during Ramadan and Eid rather than elsewhere. I've been speaking with Mamoun Hmedan, and he's the managing director for Middle East and India for the online travel company, to find out more. And he said that Ramadan's the peak season for many travel types because religious travel, between religious travel and leisure, plus, you know, for family gatherings. And the report found that around 2/3 of trips are lasting longer than a week, so people can spend as much time as possible with their families. And he said that they found that UAE nationals and Arab expats go to see family or travel for religious reasons, as I mentioned, whilst Western expats might tend to stay put in order to plan on this occasion for their summer vacations, obviously due to the timing. Now, the study showed that the top destinations are Jeddah, Medina, Cairo, Alexandria, Kuwait, Amman, Dubai, and then Istanbul. And he also said a lot of people enjoy coming to Dubai, especially the GCC travellers. They come to enjoy the Ramadan tents and atmosphere. Now, Hamedan tells us more about why people are travelling within the region.
Definitely the visiting relatives going back home, especially for the Arab expats living and working across the GCC countries, are kind of going back home, spend this time with their relatives and families. But also, I think people during Ramadan tend to do kind of an easy trip, so shorter flying time, close by destinations. It's all about the experience of Ramadan itself and the culture and whatever is going around Ramadan. So I think across the region, you have several options that give you different type of Ramadan sort of experience, but all stays within the whole fasting and Ramadan sort of lifestyle people get into across the region.
Okay, Hanan, so what are we like here in the region in terms of planning trips? Are we big sort of planners in advance? Do we book well in advance, or are we last minute sallies?
Well, actually, yeah, not in general. Hamedan said that the MENA is considered a last minute booking region. But before I reveal the research, tell me, do you plan far in advance or book last minute, NLT?
You don't ask competitive NLT because everything is planned to the last detail. There's a spreadsheet.
Is it? I can imagine her doing last minute stuff.
There's probably magnets on the fridge as well that denote the days, the times, down to the second.
No, I get called Trudy Tour Guide in my family because I like looking up things and making notes of good places to go and holiday stuff. Yes. So I do like to plan quite far in advance, but also I'm quite flexible. So if I suddenly had a free weekend, I wouldn't be averse to going, oh, there's a good flight to there, let's go there.
Yeah, see, I could see you doing that. And what about you? I bet you're an organiser, aren't you, Tim? Because you've got family.
Completely. I'm down to the itineraries are fully... of course I'm not. What do you think I am?
I would useless. Have thought, as you've got kids and stuff, so you have to be more organised, don't you?
Yeah, I have a wife, so that's a responsibility that I'm not... NLT's nodding. I would like to be better.
No, that's actually not true. I'm not. You are good at planning things, particularly surprises, and that's all I'll say.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that we can't go to, so it could be better.
Well, I'm pretty last minute myself. I must confess, I'll book things like a week in advance these days, only since I've been living here, so I don't know why, but I've just changed. But the research found that 2 out of 5 of us book their holidays for Ramadan and Eid less than 1 week before travelling. So that's so last minute, isn't it? The study also looked at the time when most bookings during the holy month are completed, and it showed that this mostly occurred between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. Hamedan said that people start searching around 8 o'clock onwards, but the booking ratio is much later, and the searches happen during Suhoor with a drop during working hours, and there's nothing happening at all during iftar at 6 or 7. So MENA residents are making their decisions late at night. Now Hamedan tells us why people book so late in the day.
It's a last minute booking region still for so many reasons, but in Ramadan I think because Ramadan is coming literally, as I said earlier, with the end of schools and beginning of summer holidays. So I think people are kind of making their mind that, do we do something quick and short? Do we go back home and then think about the big trip we want to go? So that kind of creating is confusion. We see a lot of these searches by the same users going across multiple destinations. So people like searching for their home country during Ramadan. They're also searching for like a European destination post-Ramadan, you know, and trying to figure out the time. I think that sort of confusion with the window of Ramadan being a 30 days altogether and knowing that the plans are set already for Eid after Ramadan, I think that leaves people with really, like, really limited time to make up their mind and do the booking.
So that was Mamoun Hamedan. He's Wego's managing director for Middle East and India.
Okay, not that surprised, you know, people do it late because I think there are deals to be had and I think a lot of people hold off. But, Mohammed, you reckon 7 weeks?
Yeah, I've actually read in a couple of places that the sweet spot to get the best rate on any kind of flight is 7 weeks before your trip. So that's about what? Well, 2 months almost.
Yeah, just over. So, in other words, that could be a real little pearl of wisdom we've just glimmered there. Hanan, nice to talk to you. Thank you. Let's talk to Mohammed for a moment. You're here to talk about the latest developments in the war against plastic.
That's right, Tim. So we found out today that Hilton hotels in the UAE will soon be completely free from plastic straws. In fact, all 600 Hilton-operated hotels across the world will be officially plastic strawless by the end of this year. That means 5 million straws will be removed in Europe, Middle East, and Africa annually. Now, we know that around 8 million tons of plastic waste enter the world's oceans each year, and that has a devastating impact on marine life. And that's why there's a real push here in the UAE to reduce plastic usage. Earlier this year, Jumeirah Restaurant Group announced a company-wide ban on single-use plastic straws, swizzle sticks, stirrers, toothpicks across all its food and beverage outlets. Freedom Pizza as well have stopped giving out straws with their orders. So it's really becoming a trend. Now, earlier today, I spoke with William Costley, who is Hilton's vice president of operations here in the region. I began by asking him why Hilton has joined the war against plastic.
Plastic is a serious issue, you know, for the planet, not just for an industry. And you know, global companies are in a wonderful position to actually influence others to take decisions which can have a true global impact. For Hilton, that would be approximately 20 million straws globally, and for Europe, Middle East, and Africa, which we are part of, that would be approximately 5 million straws. Europe, Middle East, and Africa has made a commitment to eradicate plastic bottles from meeting rooms. For us, that's obviously a huge step as well, and our goal would approximately be about 20 million plastic water bottles annually from meeting rooms across the region.
That was William Costley explaining why Hilton have decided to stop giving out plastic straws to their guests. I also asked him how this plan was going to be implemented at hotels here in the UAE. Here's what he told me.
We have already started working on it. Some hotels are actually plastic strawless already, where we have biodegradable straws as well as paper straws. In fact, we're actually encouraging as well, you know, only give a straw when asked. So it's not necessarily just about what it's made of. So we've already resourced suppliers, and we're actually, as we speak, getting them plastic straws removed from our properties. So we've taken pretty quick action on it.
That was William Costley, who is Hilton's Vice President of Operations here in the region, explaining how Hilton hotels here in the UAE are going to completely eradicate themselves of plastic straws.
And finally, Mohammed, another story you've been looking at today, and it's to do with authorities ensuring truck drivers stay alert on our roads during Ramadan.
That's right. So the RTA has launched an awareness campaign for truckers here in Dubai to highlight the potential dangers of driving while they're sleepy. Now, we know that many truck drivers here are fasting during the month of Ramadan, and when they're expected to drive long hours on the roads and in this heat, they might end up feeling sleepy behind the wheel, and that could lead to more accidents. So the RTA has taken to social media to educate truck drivers about what steps they can take to make sure they're alert when they're driving. So I'll just read out some of them. I think these can be applicable even to people who aren't truck drivers, I guess people like myself who are fasting during this month and will be driving. So the first one is leave a safe distance between you and the vehicle in front of you. Keep an upright posture while you're driving and make sure your head is always raised. Expect congestion on the roads and make sure you factor in that time before you reach your destination. And if you are feeling sleepy, pull over where it's safe and take a small rest before continuing on to your journey. So just some tips for truck drivers and I guess general drivers here in the UAE to keep in mind when they're driving, when they're fasting.
It's also a good thing as a reminder as well for employers. If you have a number of people driving for you, just that reminder that, hold on a minute, these guys are human, we make mistakes as humans. There are also rest stops. You see quite a lot more rest stops now.
Exactly.
Where you can safely pull over, have a quick nap, whatever it is, and then keep going. Good to hear. Mohammed Suleiman is from the ARN News Centre. Nice to see you. Thank you.
You too.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.